You're listening to 94.6 and this is Let's Talk Business with me, Susan Smith, broadcasting over the airwaves here in Ireland and online on our podcast show. In the studio with us today, we have business tycoon, public speaker and real estate mogul, Julie Solomon. Julie, you're very welcome to the studio today and we're delighted to have you here.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be with you.
And Julie, you are in South Africa at the moment. Am I right in saying that?
I am. I'm in Durban, South Africa. It's supposed to be going into autumn, but it is stinking hot at 27 degrees.
Julie, you started out in Johannesburg, where your father was involved in construction. Do you think this is where your love of property came from?
I'm sure it did, because as a youngster, whenever we had school holidays, I would go with my dad to the construction sites and I'd watch them building and I'd help them build and put cement on the bricks.
Wow.
And I'm sure that's where the love of it came from, because I still to this day love, you know, renovating, buying a property, fixing it up, flipping it. I love renovating.
Oh, excellent. So, I have to say, it's I love myself.
I don't know if you like me, Susan. Every time I finish a project, I go, that's it. I'm never doing it again, because it's never without this hassle. But a few weeks later, I'm raring to tackle the next project.
It's all part of it. Julie, were you always entrepreneurial growing up?
I was. You know, even as a kid at school, I was the one who would chop up our local delicacy as biltong. I'm sure you have lots of listeners who know what biltong is. And I chopped that into packets and sell it to my classmates. So I always had that spirit within me.
Okay.
And wanting to be fiercely independent, which led me to rather be in charge of my own destiny. I don't think I was very employable when it came to following the rules.
You know, and I don't think any entrepreneur is ever really employable. I think it's the same across the board when it comes to people who are entrepreneurial. It's just we like to do our own thing. Julie, can you talk to us a bit about how you started off in your career, your first job, and how all of that led to you buying your first property at 23?
Well, you know, I came from your average sort of middle class family. Like, my mom was always working. She was an executive secretary. We didn't have money for me to go to university. And I could never really buckle down and spend hours studying. You know, if I couldn't pull it out the hat instantly, it was too much of a task. So I, for lack of wanting, of knowing what to do, I followed in my mom's footsteps and actually trained as a secretary. And then I got involved in the marketing side, which I really enjoyed, and a more creative side. And my career has just snowballed from there. And I realized I was good at selling. So I started wrecking. I've sold intraocular contact lenses.
Wow.
I've sold Ray-Ban sunglasses and various other things. And it's just developed. It's developed from there, and always just looking for something new and exciting, and the opportunity to create something and get other people involved as well. I always find very exciting. So yes, I have been employed. I've had various jobs, great jobs, and always felt the need to have my little business on the side. And as I've grown older, that little business has grown and matured, and I feel I now finally know what I'm actually doing.
Oh, that's fantastic. And when did you decide to branch out on your own?
I have been, over the years, I've go in between sort of being employed and then I might start a business. I've had two really bad failures when it comes to my own business, mainly from not looking into my business partner and not verifying facts. I was too trusting.
Okay.
And then you go into a business that fails and I go back out and get a job. I build up the courage to start it again. And I've learned over the years that often, you know, if it's meant to be, it's up to me. And you've got to take that ball by the hands and run with it. Have the courage to step out and do it yourself. And I've never had a failure in property. I must just add that property has always been very good to me. And I started in the property business just merely as an estate agent, out of a necessity more than anything.
Okay.
I had a wonderful job. I was a national sales and operations manager for a division at Unilever.
Okay, yeah.
But I was a single mum and my daughter wasn't seeing me much. And I thought, you know, this is not for me what being a mum is all about. I was traveling extensively and hardly seeing her. So I thought, right, what can I do that's going to give me a good income and the flexibility I need? And I thought, well, it's property. And that's what prompted me to start. And 14 years later, wow. I'm still in it and loving it, have my own company and doing training and training estate agents, training people how to buy property. And I kind of kicked myself. Why didn't I come to this sooner, you know? But I absolutely love it.
Congratulations, Julia, and congratulations for coming back after your setbacks, because it's not easy when something like that happens in business. But to be able to come back out and get up again, that's the main thing. I love that expression, if it's meant to be, it's up to me. That's the first time I've heard it, and I have to say it's fantastic. Not to come off the topic or anything here, but you have had, as many entrepreneurs have had, you've had the setbacks in your life, but one major setback you had was being diagnosed with a brain tumour. And I just wanted to ask, how did you cope with such news and how did you continue to stay motivated?
You know, Susan, it was quite, I mean, I was only formally diagnosed in August, and then I've had the surgery to remove the tumour middle of January this year, so it's all still very new. I'm the kind of person that believes, you know, something happens, you can either curl up and die, or put on your big girl panties and move forward.
Wow, that's a great attitude to have.
You can't crumble up in a heap. There are people relying on you. You've got to carry on. You've got to be positive. So, yeah, a tumor. I mean, who would have thought? But to be honest with you, I think it was the universe's way of giving me a slap in the face and saying, hey, slow down a bit, girl. You need some time out. You can't be at it 24 hours a day.
Well, Julie, is it okay to ask, how are you now?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm good. I'm not quite 100% back to my former self, and maybe I won't ever be exactly the same. I'm back, you know, working full time. I just get a little bit tired, and I have to just accept the fact that, right, you need to stop for an hour, go and have a rest, and then carry on. But it's been very hard to stop me. And in fact, my neurosurgeon said to me after I saw him after 4 weeks, and he said, gosh, you know, your recovery has been absolutely remarkable.
It's actually incredible listening to you, because to listen to you today, you would never ever think that you had surgery in January. That's unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, you sound like...
The power of the mind. I really believe that.
Absolutely, 100%. The mind controls the body, and if you've got a control of your mind, you're on the winning side of it anyway, Julie. But yes, I can't believe how positive you sound, and it's absolutely refreshing to listen to that. But that's obviously why you're so successful as well. The very best of luck with that. Not that you need it. You've got a strong mind and you're very, very positive, and I know you'll be okay. Julie, did you feel more inspired to succeed after the birth of your daughter?
Yes, because you suddenly have this little human being that's reliant on you. Unfortunately, my marriage to her dad didn't last, and I think my daughter was not quite three and we separated.
Okay.
And you suddenly realize that this little human being is so totally reliant on you, and you've got to pull your act together. No one's going to come to your rescue. You know that knight on a white horse? Well, he left the country. So he switched off the lights and I think he went to Ireland.
He's stuck in the rain now, so that's his punishment.
Absolutely. He's dripping wet in the rain.
That's it.
And having her so absolutely reliant on me, just it did motivate me. It inspired me, because I wanted to give her more than what I had.
Okay.
You know, there were times it's been hard and it's been difficult.
Of course.
But you just keep going and you throw yourself at it and you just keep going. And sometimes that's what gets you through. It's just that knowledge that you are in charge of someone else's absolute survival.
Julie, can you talk to us a bit about your experience with coaching and mentoring, and who were your first coaches?
Oh, I love coaching and mentoring. It's something that I've only come to, you know, from a business point of view, later in life. You know, as a youngster, you're always coached, you're always mentored, whether it's a sport or at school. But as we get older, we're not supposed to need that anymore. We're supposed to know it all.
You yeah. don't.
So it was about 4 years ago when I met JT Fox. I know you've interviewed him as well.
Indeed, yeah.
And I sort of sat in the audience of one of his presentations. Was like, yeah, okay, maybe. And then eventually I thought, give it a go. And it was the catalyst that actually kicked me into gear. It gave me back my belief in myself and that courage to stop being scared and get out there and do it. Because if you don't try, you never know whether you can or not.
Yes, indeed. Very, very true.
And it's the coaching that gave me that confidence that, you know, I think as women, we tend to be a bit more self-conscious and lacking in belief in our capabilities.
Yes, very true.
I don't know why, but we are.
And it is true because it is. Women do tend to put themselves down a bit more. They don't accept praise as easily as men accept it, and they don't big themselves up.
Yes, absolutely. And I have a very British mom. She was born in the UK. And that sort of background, you know, you don't brag about yourself. You don't put yourself out there. And in fact, I've got a lovely story. She phoned me up one day because she's now back living in the UK.
Oh, wow.
And she says, you know, Julie, you put a lot of stuff about yourself on Facebook. I went, yes. She said, are you not bragging a bit too much? I said, no, Mom, it's not bragging. It's called branding.
Celebrating your achievements also.
Yes, absolutely. And it's the way in which you put it across, you know, that you have to create a brand for yourself and a name for yourself. So
absolutely.
That was my upbringing. I had to get away from that as well, and get away from that, and put myself out there. Yeah.
It's very much a European thing as well, and especially in Norway, but certainly in the UK and Ireland and the rest of Europe, it's very much a don't brag, don't put yourself out there. Whereas in America, it's the complete opposite.
Absolutely. You know, when you first meet all the American business coaches, you go, wow, you're brash and forward. And then I sat back and went, well, it's working for them. How do I take a little bit of that confidence and a little bit of that brashness, mix it with a South African heart, and then surely I should have a winning recipe. So, and that was only 4 years ago. So I've taken a leaf out of their book and started my own real estate company. And now I've started doing coaching as well. I really believe that so many people should own a property and start building their wealth through it. And if only we had somebody showing us how from an earlier age, we would all be far more ahead in our financial future.
Absolutely, because people get tied into mortgages and it almost imprisons them for life.
Yeah.
That's what it's like, in my opinion.
That's right. No, you're so right. But, you know, your people who've maybe owned their own home for 15 or 20 or 25 years, they've got equity sitting there.
Yeah.
If they could lease that equity from their home, go out and buy one or two or three investment properties.
Yes.
And then an income for life. And that's one of the things that I'm teaching people how to do that.
And that's quite possibly the best thing I feel anybody can do, because people talk about pensions and everybody knows what's happened in the recession with pensions and stuff. Mm-hmm. Property is the best pension anybody could have. Investment
100%.
Properties. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and especially in South Africa, our government's not looking after us. We don't have social schemes as well as they do in Britain. I'm not sure.
Really? Ireland is one of the best in the world.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have that at all, you know. I shouldn't say we don't have it at all, but it's
not to the same extent.
It's not available to everybody, and you can't live on it. So you really got to, you know, make a plan and get out there and secure your own future. And 100% believe that property is the way to do it. But no one teaches us that in school.
No, I know. Nobody even talks about it. It's just, I was fortunate that my mom was constantly telling me to buy properties all of my life. But if it wasn't for her, nobody else I have ever come across in my life has ever discussed it.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
And so at the very most, you say, okay, well, I'm going to buy my own home, not realizing that that is not an asset.
No, absolutely
not. You're better off, you're better off renting a home and buying an investment property. That's going to make you more money in the long run.
Yes, of course. Julie, Can I ask you another question? How does it feel sharing your stories on stage with some of the world's greatest entrepreneurs? Can you talk to us a bit about that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It wasn't something I'd planned. And when I did my very first talk a few years ago in Orlando in the US, and this probably stems from a bit of an actress in me, I had planned this talk for maximum... now, you see, this is the surgery slowing me down with
no
the word.
Problem. Take
maximum
your time.
Maximum impact.
Okay.
And I thought, right, I'll show this photograph, I'll do this because I have a great effect on the audience. You know, it's a bit dramatic. And I presented my talk and I got a fantastic reception. And afterwards, so many people, men and women, came up to me and said, Julie, you cannot believe what you said resonated with me, and it's made me realize that I need to do X, Y, Z.
Wow.
About 4 months later, a couple came to me. I was at a business retreat, and they said, do you know that since we met you in Orlando and we heard you talk, we've each lost 10 or 15 kilograms, and it was your talk that inspired us.
Wow, I need to hear that talk.
I'll show you a before and after photograph.
I need it.
And that's when I was like slapped up against a wall and I thought, Julie, you have a responsibility. It's not just about the effect when you're on stage. What you say is so critically important because you can actually positively impact on other people's lives.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
And when that penny dropped in my mind, I suddenly thought, wow, this can be really something worthwhile and important, and sharing what I've been through, because I also at one stage got very overweight, Susan.
Really?
So, yes.
Oh, gosh, and you're so slim now. That's amazing.
I was just eating unhappy, whatever, whole story.
Yeah.
And in my talk, I show this photograph. I said, let me introduce you to this woman. And I show a photograph of a very overweight woman. I'm talking about 45 kilograms overweight.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
I talk about the problems this woman experienced. And then I say, and it was only when the day that this woman realized there's two things she can do. Accept herself the way she is, because some people are comfortable overweight. I mean, if they're happy with it, there's nothing
that's
wrong
fine,
with it.
That's fine, yeah.
Either accept yourself the way you are, embrace it and love yourself, or change it if you're not. And then I show a photograph. What is a photograph of me then standing on stage, and people audibly go, oh, they can't believe the transformation that it was me. And basically I said, if I can do it, so can you.
Wow.
Because I'm no more special or extraordinary than anyone else in the world. I'm just an average person who is looking for something and looking for something better for herself and her family. And there's no reason why anybody else can't do what I'm doing.
Wow, that's fantastic, Julie. That's actually incredible. I definitely do want to hear that talk. But wow, good. And congratulations on the weight loss as well, because it's not an easy thing to do. So I'm really, really happy for you. To look at you now, you would never, ever believe it. Ever.
Yes.
Julie, what does a typical working week for you involve?
For me, still being actively involved in also selling real estate. So I could start a day off with a virtually empty diary. And by the end of the day, I could get home at 7 p.m. having seen 9 clients, made sure the business is operating on the back end, on the admin side, because I'm very big with customer service, and make sure the staff are on track doing what they're doing. And the ability to be flexible and being able to change on a ticky, as it were. You know, I could be sitting at my desk doing figures, month end, somebody phones and says, right, I need help with this, or I need to see this property, or can I book for this course? Yeah. Being able to stop what you're doing, refocus, sort that out, and then get back to what you're doing. So it's having that chameleon-like adaptability,
yes,
which in the formal employment sector would be seen as a negative.
Yes, absolutely.
They'd say, come on, Julie, you're all over the show. But for me, it's actually stood me in good stead, because I can take on 10 different tasks at the same time. and I get out and about, I meet people, I'm traveling. I've got a tour starting 3 weeks' time. We're doing Durban and various venues in Johannesburg.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
And what are you doing on the tour, Julie?
So I do a three-hour presentation to give you the basics on how to learn to buy your first investment property.
Excellent.
Tips and tricks, pitfalls, and just person will walk away with a general knowledge and understanding of being able to go out and buy either their first property or their second or their third, either financing it or using the equity in their own home. So I've got a series of those planned.
Fantastic.
So my day is varied and different. I think that's also what's kept me at it for the last 40 years.
Yeah.
I've been actively involved in property, yeah.
And Julie, what is the goal for the future?
The goal for the future. Well, since the brain tumor and the surgery, my goals have changed somewhat. So now it is, I want to just strive to be successful at what I do, bring some knowledge and understanding to as many people that I can help, see my daughter more often, she lives in the States, be relaxed, be comfortable, be happy, and be financially comfortable. That's all I want.
They're incredible goals, Julie, and you know, and you've already achieved them, really. But I mean, if you continue to go the way you're going, you'll always have happiness. Julie, what advice would you give to any business person starting off, or any budding entrepreneur starting off in their career?
Firstly, have the courage and belief in yourself.
That's actually a really good point. Yeah. Courage and belief in yourself is the key.
Courage and belief in yourself, because that fear of being too scared or being afraid. Yeah. What happens if I fail? So what if you fail? Try again. You know, you will never know if you – and something I remember from my childhood, my mom had always said to me that she would love to have been a singer. She's a beautiful voice. She wanted to be a singer in a band. And I think I remember she said that to me when she was about 60 years old. She turns 80 this year.
Wow.
And I thought, I don't want that ever to happen to me. I don't want ever to say, oh, if only I tried, maybe I could have been.
Oh, gosh.
Get out there and make it happen.
There is no pain like the pain of regret, you know, fear.
No, absolutely. And to have regret, it's very sad.
It's worse than failure.
It's horrible.
Yeah, to fail is no problem once you get up again. Yeah. But to have regret is possibly one of, for any entrepreneur, would absolutely be one of the worst things that you can live with. How do people contact you and get in touch with you to go to your seminars or to hear some of your talks?
Oh, absolutely. I'm on Facebook and Instagram, and I'm on email, which is julie@jsproperty.co.za. The Wealth Builder is what we call the training seminars, the property seminars. I'm the Wealth Builder, Julie Solomon, and you can contact me through Instagram, Julie Solomon with another N. So I'm highly contactable. I'm out there, and I'm happy to chat to anyone who wants to connect.
That's excellent. And Julie, on our podcast, this will actually go out on air, but it will also go on a new business podcast that we have being launched online, and all of the links to your sites will be listed under the podcast as well.
That'll be fantastic.
Julie, I just want to say thank you so much for the interview today. You're a true inspiration, and I actually feel more positive in myself having just spoken to you for the last 20 minutes.
Oh, Susan, that's wonderful. And I really admire you as well. I think what you're achieving as a young woman is fantastic. So keep doing it, keep striving, keep being brilliant. And would be wonderful one day I can actually meet you face to face.
I'd love that, Julie. I hope so. And if you're ever in Ireland, I will take you on a guided tour of the country in the rain.
I'm going to take you up on that. You know, my grandfather, who I never met, was Irish. So I've never been to Ireland. So it's definitely on the bucket list.
We'll definitely have to speak again, Julie.